Whoa, yo, welcome to the Brass Ring. I just want to say it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, man. We got AEW, got WWE, we got New Japan. Oh, man, you got wrestlers jumping ship. It is such, it's too, I don't want to say it's too many companies, but there's a lot of companies for whatever style of wrestling you like. Like, you don't have to be just a WWE fan to just join wrestling no more. And speaking of which, let's talk about AEW. For those who don't know, they had their pay-per-view called Fighter Fest. It was in Florida. And Daytona, Florida, to be exact. Let me just say, it was a nice pay-per-view. No complaints. I mean, I had a little complaints, but, you know, enough about that. For people that don't know, Fighter Fest was a pay-per-view. It was free, by the way. That held Saturday night. it was something to see. Now, we gonna talk about all the matches and, you know, stuff that they had. I'm gonna start off by saying Private Party, the first match in the buy-in. I guess that's what they call their pre-shows now, the buy-in. I kind of like it. Instead of just calling the pre-show, the buy-in. Now, the first match was a triple threat tag team match. You had SCU versus Private Party. That consists of, Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn. And let me just say, these two guys, wherever they've been, I'm glad that we're seeing them now. Like, these guys, let me compare them to the Young Bucks. Like, I like the Young Bucks, but these two guys, they should be bigger than the Young Bucks. And let me tell you why. The only flaw I see with the Young Bucks is, I know people say they just a bunch of, you know, spot monkeys and, you know, whatnot. And, you know, they kind of are. I'm not trying to hate on them, but, you know, most of their matches do consist of a lot of spots. But that's not the comparison I'm trying to make. The only difference I see between these two is that in ring, these guys have a character. They have personality in ring wise. When I watch the Young Bucks wrestle, I don't see the Young Bucks wrestle. I mean, the Young Bucks. I don't see their personality. Now, I know some of y'all might say, what do you mean, Tevin? You don't see their in ring, you don't see their characters. I know they be talking, they be having fun in the ring, but they do not show really charisma and their character. Now, during this match, Private Party, I just felt the charisma these two guys had, and I'm liking it, and I can't wait to see more. The Young Bucks, I mean, when I say character, you know, in the ring, of course, we know them and we know their character by outside the ring because of their show being the lead. But it doesn't really, how should I say, transition into the ring wise. Private Party is a private party in the ring and out the ring. Young Bucks, it's kind of like they kind of, how should I say, like switched gear kind of. But let's get back to the match. You had Private Party. You had SCU. And then you have the best friends, Chucky T and Trent Beretta. Now, I'm slowly liking these two. From my understanding, you know, Trent Beretta, I know he had a short time in the WWE. And from what I'm hearing in like podcasts, like, you know, Chris Jericho's podcast, Stone Cold's podcast, you know, people's podcasts that, you know, people actually listen to instead of mine, but I digress. Chucky T
is not liked by a whole bunch of wrestlers, and maybe that's why he had a such a short, you know, tenure at WWE. Because, you know, that's one reason, you know, that's one way to get, you know, sent packing if the whole locker room don't like you. But I know Trent Beretta from his time from New Japan when he was part of Roppongi Vice. For whatever reason, I did like that tag team. Let's see. SCU. Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you about SCU. Now, SCU, if for the people that don't know, is a tag team that consists of three wrestlers. But let me start off by saying about Scorpio Sky. Scorpio Sky, I believe he is the next big thing in wrestling. And if you don't believe me, just watch this guy's work, man. It's crazy. Like, whenever SCU breaks off and do their thing, I truly believe that Scorpio Sky is going to be the next world heavyweight champion in whatever promotion that he is. Because that guy is really athletic and gifted. Like, he's not a small dude. And, you know, I would say he's kind of average. But you will never expect this guy to be a high flyer. Like, especially when it comes to black wrestlers. He, like, I was amazed and happy that Kofi Kingston finally became WWE champion. But Scorpio Sky, he's it, man. He's the bee's knees. And the, how should I say this? I guess the two people from SCU that was in this match was Frankie Kazarian, which is another vet that's, I think is underrated. He's just too damn good. Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky are represented from SCU. This triple threat tag match was unbelievable, man. Like, y'all just have to watch it for yourself. I wish I can go into detail, but it's too many things in this match and to remember. But I guess if you go back and watch the highlights, you will get my drift. But and you know what, kind of think of it, I think that's why WWE matches be like how they are, because like when people do podcasts, I've noticed it's easy to remember those matches so you can talk about it. But other promotions, like indie promotions, I think they try to pack too much stuff in it. Not saying that's a bad thing, but when you have people critiquing it and you trying to go remember what stuff and spots that happened in a match, it's kind of hard. Like New Japan. Like, New Japan is freaking awesome. But I can't go into detail, every single detail about what happened in that match. Like, I know it's a 5-star match, but I can't tell you move by move of what they did, because it's so much stuff going on. But this match, it was a lot of stuff going on, but I enjoyed it. I think this match was, you know, designed to showcase Private Party's wrestling ability and get them over at the same time. Even though they didn't win, but they really, AEW does a good job of making, so far, they're making people, you know, stars, trying to get their name out. And Private Party, I see them as future tag team champions now. When? I don't know, but they're gonna be, because I've done my research, and I think they debuted as a tag team in 2015, so, you know, it's not, I would say, you know, 4 years, yeah, that's kind of long, you know, being a tag team. But for those who don't know, Private Party was trained by the Amazing Red. And for you guys that don't know who the Amazing Red is, how dare y'all call yourself wrestling fans? So they started wrestling his promotion in 2015. So I'm definitely going to go back and do some more watch some more of their matches, because these guys, a Private Party, these guys ain't no joke. I mean, they might joke and clown in the ring, but when it comes in the ring work, in ring work, these guys are top notch. And this match was so awesome. So let's continue. The winner of this match was the best friends, Trent Beretta and Chucky T. Chucky T. You know what? I do want to say this. Chucky T doesn't look like your typical wrestler, but I think this is good, because his physique is not that impressive, but come on now. I mean, it's 2019. I think you don't have to be jacked to be a wrestler. I mean, look at Kevin Owens. But Chucky T, I like his look, because it's different. He doesn't have that typical cut wrestler look. But yeah, Chucky T and Trent Beretta won, the best friends. So, you know, they hug it out. Then shortly after the match ended, we see a video appear, and it's the Dark Order, formerly known as the Super Smash Brothers, for those who don't know. Now, we first saw these guys and All In this past month. Now, the only problem I would have in All In, I like how they debuted. A lot of people didn't know who they were, and that was great. A lot of people complained about that, because they were saying, well, it should have been a tag team that everybody knew. No, guys, you're missing it. This was good, because it makes you want to know who they are. Because you know what I did? I Googled who interfered in the match and All In. Who was this tag team? And I looked up, it was the Super Smash Brothers. So that's good. The only problem I had in All In and at Fyter Fest was the fact when they debuted and when they popped up on screen, the whole arena went black. Now you might want to say, why is that a big deal? I have no issue about going black, but the time that it went is too much time. It should, you know, when the Undertaker comes, the arena goes black for probably about 5 to 10 seconds, then it comes back on. Then, you know, we'd be shocked. But they completely let the lights go off for too long. And, you know, so Trent Beretta and Chucky T, they're in the ring, and the video of the Dark Order comes and saying they chose them to be their, you know, first victim. And when the video was over, he snapped his fingers, lights went off. Now, 30 seconds or whatever, when the lights came back on, their minions, or I don't know what they called, but they were surrounding the best friends and outside the ring. Now, this is another little flaw critique I will say. They were just standing there. Now, I would say if they stood there for about 10 seconds and then turned the lights off, it would have been perfect. But they were just standing there way too long, because it was just getting to the point, well, are they going to do something? So when the lights finally went off, you know, another 30 seconds of just pitch black, then the lights come back on. And you could tell by the audience, you know, because I heard some booing, because I guess they didn't like that. You know, it's just a small little critique. That's all. Then we cut backstage. Now, for people who don't know, Fyter Fest was a play off of the infamous Fyter Festival that happened a couple years ago. For people that don't know who the Fyter Fest was, long story short, it was supposed to be this huge musical festival that was supposed to take some place in the Bahamas that people paid ridiculously amount of money, like $20,000. There were some people that actually paid like $20,000 to $30,000 for this music festival. And people paid all this money, and the concert never happened. So the play, if for the those who want to know what Fyre Festival is, I highly recommend y'all go to Netflix and Hulu and type in Fyre Festival. The one on Hulu is probably my favorite one, so I will check that one out first. But let's get back to it. It's basically a play of Fyre Festival, which was this guy promised people a lot of things, like a lot of artists and stuff. Like Blink-182 was supposed to be there, Kanye West was supposed to perform, there was supposed to be villas and stuff like that. Long story short, it didn't happen. There was none of that. They couldn't afford it, basically. So the play was, well, we're going to make this awesome wrestling festival, and we're going to promise y'all horseback riding with Brandy and stuff like that. You know, just ridiculous. You know, it was all in fun. And I kind of enjoyed it. So we were backstage with the Young Bucks, and they're freaking out, like, oh, we don't have our ring gear. It was like, we don't have the gourmet dinners that we promised everybody. This festival is, you know, going out of control. We're losing control. And Kenny is promising, you know, everything is going to be okay. I'm going to get you our uniform so we will have them in time for the match. And I actually enjoyed that part. All right, now let's go to our next match. Now, if I forgot, I don't remember if I explained to y'all what kind of event Fighterfest is. Basically, they're having this event at CEO, which is a big game convention that happens in, I don't know if every year they do it in Daytona Beach, but I know this year they did it in Daytona Beach. And basically, you know, they rent out a convention center, and Fighterfest is basically a part of it. And CEO is basically a big game convention celebrating fighting games like Street Fighter. And you know, since wrestling is a form of, you know, a combat sport, why not having a wrestling event? And I'm so glad that they did this, because I really think that's cool. Apparently last year Kenny Omega hosted it, and he had a whole bunch of, you know, like indie wrestlers there. But this year, to actually have like a company like AEW is truly amazing. Now, let's go to our next match, where we have Leva Bates, I think that's how you pronounce it, versus Allie. Now, I don't know Leva Bates too well, but I do know Allie for her from her time in TNA, which is like Impact right now. And Allie had this gimmick where when you first saw her on screen, she wasn't really a wrestler. She was like a valet to Maria Kanellis. She was basically like her assistant. She was like the klutzy, timid assistant. And she slowly became a wrestler and worked her feud with Maria later on. So you saw her transition into a valet, into a wrestler. Now, obviously, she had to held back when she was wrestling, because, you know, it's, her character was like she just learned wrestling, basically. But when I figured that out, I was like, wow. And now that she's in AEW, we can finally like see her skills. Now, and Leva Bates has this character, it's a librarian gimmick. She comes out basically with no music and basically like shh the whole audience. And she comes out with her, well, I don't even know if they're partners. Apparently it's just this guy, he's another librarian, and his name is Peter Avalon. I never heard of him either. And this is another reason why I love AEW. They bring in all these stars that you never heard of. Some people never heard of. And making them into big stars. And so they come out to the ring, Leva Bates and Peter Avalon, and basically telling everybody, like, we know y'all like games, but basically just read a book every now and then. And, you know, you had a gaming convention. That's the last thing people want to hear. This was an okay match, you know. I'm not too, you know, big on it, but it was at the buy-in. It's what you expect. But the ending, I did kind of like. Basically, Avalon attempted to help Bates all throughout the match, but he kind of proved to be, like, more of a distraction. So, the match ended when he attempted to throw a book in the ring, you know, as a foreign object to help Bates, which Allie caught it, and she threw it to Bates, and she did a nice super kick, and she got the pin. So, basically, I guess it's creating heat, like I said before. I guess Peter Avalon, he kind of has a crush on Leva Bates because, you know, they're both Liberians. But I don't think she's paying him no mind, you know. But after this match, I don't think that's helping him either. But Allie, it's nice to see Allie in a, you know, a nice little better role. Even though I did like her in TNA, I'm looking forward to see what else she can do. Now, the next match in the buy-in. I'm not going to lie to you. This was actually a good match. And let me tell you why. Well, let me first tell you who's in this match. Michael Nakazawa. So when you say his name, it's not Michael Nakazawa. It's Michael Nakazawa. You got to say it like that. Kind of like how Brock Lesnar, when he, you know, when Paul Heyman introduced him, it's not Brock Lesnar, it's Brock Lesnar. Okay. It's Michael Nakazawa versus Alex Jabaley. Now, for the people who don't know who Alex Jabaley is, don't feel bad. He's not even a wrestler, let's just say. He's basically the guy that founded CEO. And from my understanding, this is his second match, and it wasn't that bad, actually. Now, give it that it was a hardcore match, you know, because if you're not a wrestler, you can't just be in a regular match. It has to be some kind of gimmick match. But Alex Jabaley, oh, I'm quite impressed. I would actually say he did better than Stephen Amell did when he debuted in his wrestling debut. If you don't know who Stephen Amell is, he's the guy that plays the Arrow on the CW. And don't get me wrong, Stephen Amell did an amazing job. But Alex Jabaley, he should make this his full-time gig. Because I was actually shocked about what he can do in the ring. But it was a nice hardcore matches. Which I don't know why everybody hating on this, because you just got to take it as a, you know, it is what it is. Matt started off with Nakazawa basically saying, "You got lucky." Well, I don't even know if he did win their last match or whatever, but I do know Alex Jabaley got injured apparently, and Michael Nakazawa said, "I'm sorry about. It's glad that, you know, you're okay, you know, from your right leg injury." Then Alex Jabaley, you know, responded, "Hey, idiot, it wasn't my right leg, it was my left." And Michael Nakazawa responded as, "Oh, really? I'm sorry." And he proceeds to attack him in his left leg. Now, Jabaley, I give Jabaley all the props for taking the punishment he did in that match, including a spear from Nakazawa off the ring apron and into a table. waiting at ringside in the kendo stick to the back. Nakazawa took damage too. I wouldn't say he botched the German suplex onto the table, but, you know, it is what it is. And I think Nakazawa, you know, being a pro, he is, because, you know, it's a Bailey. He's not really, you know. But Nakazawa, he did good. He carried Jabali through the match. Jabali then poured some. This was my favorite spot in the match. Now, you know how most hardcore matches, people grab the bag full of tacks and spread it all across the ring. Well, Jabali did the same thing, kind of. He grabbed a bag, and I guess he had for those who are gamers, I guess they were like those push buttons things. Let's just say that they look kind of like Legos. I don't know what they call it, but he poured it all over the ring. And if you know, if you ever had Legos when you was a kid, if you stepped on one of those jokers, they hurt. So imagine this in the ring. It's probably just as bad as thumbtacks. So Jabali poured the thumbtacks on the ring. And he's body slammed Nakazawa onto them. And that had made my night. Just to see somebody in pain off of Legos. But they also, you know, they took the fight outside, you know, outside the ring, to a kiddie pool. That was kind of nice too. But Nakazawa reversed a cradle that Jabali did for the win. Like I said, let's just give it, you know, what it is. It was a good match. And that was part of the buy-in. Now, overall, the buy-in, you know, their buy-ins are not that bad. Like, in All In, their buy-in was basically the, what do they call it? The buy-in Battle Royal, which I think was probably the second best match of the night, honestly. Now, on to the main show. Now, I'm guessing by how they did the other pay-per-views, JR, good old Jim Ross, doesn't do the buy-ins. He's there for the main show. So I don't know if this is going to be a every pay-per-view thing where as soon as the buy-in's over, they play JR's music and he comes out. Or I think they just going to do it for the first couple of times to let people know, oh, yeah, JR is here. But, so JR comes out for the main show. And the first match that we have is Seema versus the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. Now, I know some of y'all are familiar with Christopher Daniels. He's 26 year plus vet, been in business for 26 plus years. His finishing move is the greatest moonsault ever. If you don't know what that is, look it up. Christopher Daniels is a former Ring of Honor heavyweight champion, and I want to say he's probably in the top five of the best wrestlers who never made it to WWE. It's never been in WWE. I'm pretty sure he's probably had a few tryout matches, and he was probably, you know, like an enhancement talent every now and then in WWE. Or he probably hasn't, you know, but let's just say he's never officially like made a debut with his name there. He never worked under a contract, basically. But Christopher Daniels is up there as one of the greatest wrestlers never to work with WWE. Now, Seema is from a promotion
and I think in China, called Oriental Wrestling Entertainment, OWE. And All In, he was part of a trio. And I think Cena is a veteran too for a long time, because this wasn't the first time Cena has met Christopher Daniels. They, from the research I did, they were part of a tag team back in the day. Cena is nice. I actually like that. And one thing I do like about AEW is that their talent is very diverse. Like, from other promotions. Like, other promotions, they might have one or two foreign competitors, But AEW basically has a balance. Like, there's same amount as foreign talent there is, American talent. So, it balances out. And their women division, I think they probably will have the best women's division probably ever from a promotion. Cause let me tell you, WWE, the thing where they messed up, they only push two women at a time to be at the top on both shows. And it's crazy because they have a lot of good female talent, but they just steady pushing, Charlotte. And right now, the other person is basically Alexa Bliss or Becky. You have Lacey Evans, which, she's okay. But you had people like Emma, that her last match in WWE was phenomenal. And which I still don't know why they let her go, but hey, they're lost. But back to the match, Cena versus Christopher Daniels. This match, if you've never seen both of them work, they're extremely good workers. Now, Cena defeated Christopher Daniels. Cena hit Daniels with a hanging backbreaker powerbomb off the top rope for the victory. Far as opening matches go, usually opening matches, set the tone. And I think this just missed it. I think they was just missing one thing, and I'm not quite sure what that one thing is. But overall, it was a good first match, but it could have been better. That's all I'm gonna say.
Those who don't know, Darby Allin is a big indie star. He mostly, just like Jimmy Havoc, he's known for these brutal hardcore matches. If y'all want to learn more about Darby Allin, I recommend you watch the show on Viceland called The Wrestler. It was very informing. I enjoy that series. This match was just, Cody, he just came off the match that he had with his brother Dustin during All In. This match was fun. Allin is very quick and athletic. A lot of reversals. Cody, he wrestled aggressively. And, I really enjoyed this match. This match is interesting, though. You know how regular matches, at the beginning of the match, they said this is one fall with a 20-minute, 30-minute time limit. this match actually went past the 20-minute mark. You know, you don't really see that a lot in wrestling. So I took my hat off to AEW. Very interesting. What happened right after, that's where the big news comes from. Well, it's not really news. It was just the excitement. So after the whole disqualification because of the whole time limit, well, it's not really a disqualification. I think they count that as a draw. So after the draw, guess who comes to the ring? I don't think nobody was really expecting this. None other than Sean Spears, a.k.a., well, formerly known as the Perfect 10 Ty Dillinger. He comes to the ring while Cody is getting up. Sean Spears has a chair in his hand. Then he goes over his head with the chair. Now, you know in WWE, they don't do chair shots to the head no more because what we know now about concussions, it's not really, you know, it's looked, you know, frowned upon now. Really, you don't want to damage the wrestlers, but they did back in the day. So, and this one was just brutally over the head, like, had no time to cover his head. And the impact. I don't know. I really believe Cody is becoming the next Ric Flair when it comes to bleeding. Well, I won't even say Cody. I think it's just the Rose family in general. Because Cody, just off of that hair shot, was just a puddle of blood in the ring. And I don't think people were expecting that. I know a lot of people thought, oh no. I don't think they were prepared for that because of, you know, what happened next was MJF came to the ring and, you know, he was trying to help Cody up. And a lot of people think that just because MJF went to the ring and helped Cody that, you know, it was just a freak accident. And people, let me tell you, MJF didn't break character. That is his character. He is, character-wise, he is best friends with Cody just because Cody is a higher up in AEW, so he's brown nosing. That wasn't MJF breaking character, that's just him trying to get on Cody's good side in his time of need. They probably had it in mind to have him bleeding, but I don't think that much blood was supposed to come out. But let's just say that. But overall, that whole segment was very cool because it's been a while since we saw really cool stuff in the televised big wrestling company like that. Next match, we have Kenny Omega in the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers and Laredo Kid. It's quite funny because leading up to this match, remember how I was saying that Kenny was trying to get, you know, ring gear uniforms ready and couldn't because I guess their ring attire got lost or something like that. So Kenny and Young Bucks come out as, you know, the Street Fighters. What's their name? Ryu and Ken? You know, the black and, I mean, not the black, but the red and white karate gear. And I thought that was pretty awesome. So Kenny, well, what I thought was Kenny, came out in the ring. He didn't have no gear at first, but then the lights went out. And he came back as, I can't pronounce it. I need to use that pronunciation. Kumba, Kama, or whatever. You know, with the red hair. The Street Fighter character with the red hair. I got it. But that's what Kenny came out with. I didn't know that. Akuma, yeah, so that was just hilarious, and that just shows, you know, Kenny really is a video game. You know what, I'm kind of tired of AEW winning all their shows and, like, triple threat matches. I mean, this is not the only one they did. I mean, they only did it in, that's the only way they really did it. Oh, I apologize, people, because I just realized that I've been referring to the pay-per-view that happened last month. And when I say last month, I mean in June, the Double or Nothing. I kept on saying All In. I'm very solid. I know a lot of people were like, it was Double or Nothing, idiot. A lot of conspiratorial people were there. But, Double or Nothing. The only pay-per-view they did that in was All In when they ended that Triple Threat. I hope this don't become a, you know, big thing. I don't have nothing against Triple Threat matches, but, you know, the more people you have in the ring, you know, sometimes it gets lost in the sauce, so I'd rather have a tag team or just a singles match. You know, that's just my opinion. But, because it's like, every time they do it, the main event just seems lackluster. You know. But, overall, you know, this is a typical number of match, basically. But the only difference was, you know, you had Kenny. This was one of the top matches of the night, and, you know, we all know who the Lucha Brothers is. You know, if you watch Lucha Underground, you should know, or if you watch AAA Wrestling Mexico, you should know, but Laredo Kid, I like Laredo Kid. I wonder what happened to, what's his name, Bandino? I wonder if he's actually signed to AEW, because I would love to see him there too, but I understand that he's not, why he wasn't there. Now, next match, actually, this technically was the main event, but this was an unsanctioned match, so it really doesn't count, because, you know, unsanctioned means, you know, AEW is not responsible for whatever happened, because you have two guys that live hardcore deathmatch. You have John Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose, versus Joey Janela in an unsanctioned match. Oh man, when you want to talk about matches that remind you of ECW back in the day, this is one of them. I just want to talk about a particular spot in this match that was just crazy. And of course, remember how Alex DeBelli had the bag full of Legos or whatever? In this match, we actually got a bag full of thumbtacks. And whew, and what made this different was John Moxley actually tore two bags of thumbtacks. Plus, he took off the shoes and socks off of Joey Janela and just slammed him right into it. Then he did the dirty deeds, and oh man. You know what? You should watch this match first, because after your stomach's gonna be about to turn. But, as in pay-per-view, do I think this was better than All In or Double or Nothing? To me, so far, Double or Nothing has been their best pay-per-view yet. Overall, I give this pay-per-view I'd say a B minus. Double or Nothing was a solid A. All In was a C. Before people start crucifying me, the reason why I gave All In a C was because those were some awesome, great matches, amazing matches. But all the finishes, except for one, and I can't remember the finish. I think it was a Cody match, Cody versus Nick Adonis. I think that finish I didn't have a problem with, but all the finishes, they were lackluster. Like, you had all these big spots throughout the matches, every single one of those matches, but it was just when guy went for the pin. You know, it was just 1, 2, 3, 0, 1. It was very luck, all their finishes. And that's understandable, because they really didn't have nobody in the back producing the matches, really. Grayson's like a big indie show. But I honestly believe like those friendships will be better. Everybody that's listening, I want y'all to ask, you know, questions, topics that I can talk about on, you know, on future podcasts and episodes. It would really help, you know, to get my podcast out there. I think what's going to be different from mine is I'm going to get all the wrestling fans involved. It's not just mine, it's yours. I want you to get topics. I want you to get me talking. I want you to get me engaged. You know, I want to hear y'all's opinions of what needs to change in professional wrestling. Now, the main reason why I started the podcast was not just to talk about it. It was because the reason why I call it the Brass Ring is because this phrase was coined by Vince. He, in a particular wrestler, he was talking about Cesaro, and the question was asked, why isn't Cesaro, like, at the top, a top guy? And Vince gave this, you know, cringe-worthy answer, which was kind of, I don't agree with Vince at all on this one, but, basically he says, Cesaro, he thinks there's a, I don't know, a culture wall that's keeping him from the fans or something, and he's not quite reached that brass ring yet, but Cesaro can speak 5 different languages, which I really, if you think about it, that's money, that's marketable, you can market him, he's a pound for pound one of the strongest wrestlers they have, and if you give him the opportunity, because in the past, Cesaro has put on some amazing matches. So this is why I call it a brass ring, to talk about certain wrestlers that I believe that should be at the top, but they're not getting that push. You know, every now and then, you know, matter of fact, I'm going to do a review every week on, you know, like Raw, SmackDown, NXT, but for the most part, this is going to be, I'm just going to pick a wrestler every week. I'm going to try as I do more podcasts, probably at least 3 times a week to a wrestler like that, but it's mainly to see what kind of wrestlers that I think that needs to be at the top, but they're just not getting that push. So, like, subscribe, and like I said, leave me some messages, topics, discussions, and you will be in the next podcast. Alright, peace out, until the next pay-per-view show, I will see you later.
You know what?